We're going to continue our series about financial priorities. And if you see my thing up there, you see a stewardship priority spend. Some of you are like, yes, this is my favorite part. I get to spend. But hold on. We talked about how our first financial priority is to give God our first fruits. Our second priority is to save so that we can give generously and not be caught in financial crises. Today, we're talking about the topic of spending. After first fruits and after saving, we need to be careful about how we faithfully spend our finances. So we're going to talk about that today. You know, there are so many areas that we have to spend, whether it be paying for our mortgages, our contracts, our promises, our utility bills, our credit cards, the workers that we hire. And we want to do those things in a way that honors God. Now, I know these things don't sound that exciting. Oh, we're going to talk about paying our bills. Bill contacts me all the time, right? Isn't that what you feel like? He's constantly putting letters in the mail of what you owe Bill, right? All right, my joke flaffed up. All right, we'll keep going. But this isn't about, like, being a good steward of our money isn't about pleasure and instant gratification. It's about being a faithful disciple of Jesus. And so we're just going to talk about a couple of basic things. For some of you, again, this is going to be like, yeah, this is basic stuff. For some of you who maybe, and I think I mentioned it last week, who maybe didn't grow up with a good example of how to handle your money or were never taught those things, hopefully today this will be helpful to you. But we're going to lay down some biblical principles for how we spend our money, okay? And I'm going to do some general things. I'm not going to tell you, well, you should spend your money on this and that and that. We're going to talk about general principles we find in Scripture. So let's start. And the first thing is, when we're being good stewards with our money, our spending should glorify God. Now, I'm going to share with you a couple of verses, and as we look through these verses, you're not going to see where it specifically mentions money. But they do establish biblical teachings about how all of our lives should bring glory and honor to God, which includes our money. All right? So, let's start with Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Unfortunately, I think too often we compartmentalize our faith. What I mean by that is, as people, we tend to have, okay, here is where my Christian beliefs come into play. Here is where my own personal desires come into play. And sometimes they don't cross over. We keep them in separate compartments. My Christian faith means I don't believe in abortion, I don't vote liberal, I go to church on Sundays, and I don't cheat on my wife. Right? But then there are other areas where they are in this separate compartment where, but my faith doesn't necessarily affect my language. My faith doesn't necessarily affect what media I consume or what I spend my money on. But if Christ is Lord of our lives, then he is Lord of all of our lives. From our thoughts to our language to the entertainment we enjoy to how we spend and how we handle our finances. Every area of our life, it's not like, Like, sometimes we're like, well, we'll put God first, and then everything else, I'll just kind of do my own thing. It's no, God is in everything in our lives. In other words, it's not like, well, I did my God thing for the day. Check it off. And now I can go do my thing for the day. God needs to be in every aspect of our lives, including our finances. And if you just said to yourself that how you spend your money is not the church's business, you have missed my point. You're right. How you spend your money is not the church's business, but it is Jesus's business. And he paid the ultimate price to purchase your salvation and redeem your life. And you are no longer your own. You belong to him. And how and what you spend your money on is now his business to tell you what to do. So as we talk about our finances, it's important to keep that in mind. That we are to live a life worthy of the calling we have received, even when we're using our extra cash on things. First Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Verse 15 and 16. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Now, I know you may be thinking, what does this have to do with money? Well, it's clear, I think, that when we become believers, people watch what we do. If your neighbor knows that you're a Christian, they're going to be watching to see how you live. Are you living in a way that says that your faith in Christ, your Christian title, is really what you believe? Or is it something you just say? And that goes for how we spend our money. We should live in such a way that when people see where our wallet goes and they see the way we behave and everything about our lives should be a testimony to who God is. Everything. The world is watching. That's a lot of pressure. I'm not saying we have to be perfect, right? But we do have to be ambassadors. We do have to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to God to the best of our ability, so that a lost and spiritually dying world sees that God is real. And that counts for what they see us spending our money on. It's part of our testimony. So that is going to be the underlying principle for how we spend our finances. Does me spending it on this thing honor God? Or does this me spending this on that thing, is it really just all about myself? Now remember, we did talk about luxury is okay in there as long as it's in its proper place. So let's talk about the uncomfortable thing. You got to pay what you owe. We've talked about the background of biblical principle. Let's dive more into how we spend our money, and I'm going to specifically focus on making sure that we are accountable to pay what is right and appropriate to others. And I say this because, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, American debt is outrageous. Credit card use is outrageous. And I'll talk a little bit more about debt in a little bit, but Romans 13:7, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Give to everyone what you owe them. Who here loves to get a really good deal? Right? I went on a missions trip to Peru, 2 years. Peruvian markets are very different than American markets. And when we were in a Peruvian open-air market, it was a lot like a yard sale. They expect you to haggle, okay? So you're like, how much for that? And they'll be like, and they'll crank up the price because they want you to haggle with them. That's how they do business. And so then you bring yours, and then they bring theirs, and then yours, and then somewhere in the middle, you're like, okay, this is a good deal. It's very satisfying, right? When you can haggle it down. Frequently, when Steph gets home from the grocery shopping, or sometimes any kind of shopping, she'll play a little quiz game with us at the house. It's called, Guess How Much I Paid for This. Now, of course, I really have no clue how much she's paying for groceries, okay? I just know two bags of groceries cost more than like a week's pay anymore, right? But how much did she pay for that block of cheese? I have no idea. So then when she asked me, well, guess how much I got this for? I now have a choice to make. Do I purposely give out a high number because I have no idea? So I'm like, was it like $13? Or do I try to lowball it just to annoy her, right? Guess how much I paid for this? Was it 5 cents? Sometimes I choose to be ridiculous. I will admit, I try to be petty sometimes. When my kids are present, they usually go for the low number. And depending on what mood I am. But the point being, she loves to find a great deal. We had Philly cheesesteaks the other day because she got the Steakums for free because she bought the rolls at ShopRite. And let me tell you, she was so excited about eating that Philly cheesesteak. Not because it tasted good, but because she got a good deal. It was free. And sometimes a shirt just looks better when it's cheaper. And you get it on clearance, right? But sometimes people take it to extreme and they try to find a way to cheat the system or skimp out. A deal is one thing, but as Christians, we are called to a higher ethical standard than just working it and cheating people. My daughter works in retail. She works in Hobby Lobby. You would be surprised how many people will buy something, use it, and then bring it back and be like, I don't like it. I never even took it out of the package. Really? Because it's taped closed, right? Or here, how about this one? We all know that it's coming on tax time, right? You're all gathering up your tax stuff. Now listen, I get it. The government always wants more and more and more. Personally, my federal finances are usually good, but I usually almost always owe it to the state of New Jersey. How many of you have been there? Like New Jersey gets theirs, right? No matter how many deductions. But I know of people who sometimes will start lying on their taxes, right? I would say that it is actually good wisdom to try to get those deductions, right? We're being a good steward of what God's given us. But outright lying isn't becoming of a servant of Jesus Christ. Or sometimes we have work done, right? You're having them fix something in your house. And when it's done, we're just like, can you redo it? It's not right. And it really is fine, but we just want to see if we can nitpick it down, right? These things offend God. And let me tell you why. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord detests dishonest scales. The accurate weights find favor with him. We need to have integrity in our financial dealings with people. If we expect God to be pleased with us, then we need to do things his way. And I know that that's not fun because nobody likes to pay. And just specifically I have in my mind, because I know taxes is a cup, nobody likes to pay extra taxes. I get that. But we have to be people of integrity when it comes to how we handle our money. And when it comes to how we spend, there is great wisdom in remaining debt-free. How many of you are debt-free? How many of you, you're like, because of that? Since we're talking about paying what is right to be paid to others and honoring God with our finances and how we spend it, we can't avoid the topic of debt. Debt, just so you know, in Scripture, debt is not a sin. Now hold on, because some of you are like, woohoo! Right? Hold on, though. Because while debt isn't necessarily a sin in Scripture, there's lots of warnings throughout Scripture about getting ourselves into debt. Why? Because it severely limits our ability to give freely, to be generous, and to be honest, debt enslaves us. If you've ever had some debt hanging over your head, you know that that thing is the opposite of freedom, right? Now, you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but how many of you, thinking about this, you know, just think an answer in your head, but how many of you have ever experienced stress and anxiety over a bill you owed or accumulating debt? I see some heads nodding. I see some people who are willing to be honest and raise their hand. That can be really stressful. And there is such freedom that comes when you pay off a debt. If anyone's ever paid off a mortgage, you know when that mortgage is done, right? It's just, there's a refreshment that comes, right? Now listen, it's important to remember that there is debt that's unavoidable. If you buy a home, most people can't buy a home with cash. A car loan. These things tend to be unavoidable. Not too many people, maybe with a car loan, maybe it's doable, but still it can be very hard to find a decent, reliable car that you can afford to pay cash for, right? But I also want to point out that sometimes we get approved for way over what we need, right? They're like, listen, we can give you a loan for $500,000. You're like, I don't make that amount of money in 5 years. You know, how am I going to do that? and pay my other bills. But just because we get told, oh, this is what you can afford, we have to be honest between ourselves, between God and our wallets. What can we really afford? And I say that because I had a friend who, because of circumstances, was no longer able to pay for her mortgage. And you know what she did? Her and her family abandoned the house. And the bank foreclosed on it. And I get it, but here's the thing. We make promises when we go into debt that we will repay. And I'm talking about integrity. That we pay what we promise to pay. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. When we're in debt, it changes our priorities. And the debt becomes this master over us. It's like a dark cloud hanging there. And it's a very real way we become enslaved. Maybe we want to be generous. But when you know you have all these bills that are backing up, some of them are necessary. Again, you know, you got to pay for your water bill. But did we really need a house that can fit 100 people when there's only one of us? And I say that because that's what people do. Because it becomes this personal status thing, right? And what happens is our allegiances get divided so that we have to manage living for God and living for money because we're swallowed up by our debts. And that can really embitter us. I have known people who have taken out school loans and then they get really bitter about it when they're paying them. Debt becomes this master over us. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Did you ever think about that? God considers it wickedness when we don't repay the things that we have promised to pay. And this applies to credit cards too. And please understand, I'm not trying to be preachy today. But I'm speaking on these things because I believe that when we follow God's plan for our lives and we follow the biblical principles, it brings freedom. And it brings God's blessings on us. And scripture says, the righteous give generously. Applies to credit cards. When you use a credit card, when you get a credit card, you're promising to pay that back. When we do take on debt, we need to be accountable to pay that off. I know some of you who ended up I know some people who ended up with underwater with their mortgages and they just couldn't pay it. And like I said, they abandoned their house and the bank foreclosed on it. And then they just moved somewhere else and started paying rent. It's wrong for us to walk away from the things that we promised to pay. That doesn't mean that we don't make deals with the bank to try to bring it down and all that, but it's a matter of integrity before God, right? And see, this is what debt does to people. When we get in over our head, it begins to become this burden. Scripture warns us about debt and says that there is wisdom in avoiding debt when we can, and there's wisdom to living within our means. And here's what it comes down to. Learning to be content with what we have and trusting God to meet our needs. Now, God doesn't always promise to bail us out of poor decisions. How many of you have ever, not just financially, but how many of you have ever made a poor decision in your life and had to face the consequences of it? Right? God never promises that he's going to bail us out of every mess we make. But I believe when we place God first and we live according to his principles, that he provides what we need. All right, one last thing to think about, one last thing to keep in mind. Paying off our debts is really important, and I encourage you that if you have some debts, to make that a priority, to pay back what you owe. But that doesn't mean that we avoid paying our first fruits to God. Malachi 3, 7 through 12. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you were robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I included this verse. Now, this verse is talking to the Israelites, and they're in a covenant relationship with God, and so he's dealing with them. But there's a principle in here that says that when we start taking and putting God to the side, that we're kind of robbing God of what's rightfully due him. And even though debts feel like they're going to swallow us up, and listen, I was there. When I first got out of college, I had some school loans. I had my car insurance, just buying gas, you know, all those things. And I was there. It was tight. And I didn't always do what I should have done, which was put God first. But when I did say, you know, this is it, I got to put God first, even though I'm not even sure that I have enough, I'm going to put God first. He always took care of my needs. We should not neglect putting God first. I understand that sometimes it is scary because money is tight. But we have to keep our hearts oriented towards him by keeping even our wallets oriented towards him. And if we put God first in our finances, it's an act of faith and trust. And he has proven it again and again. He will meet our needs. Now, I know this is, again, not an exciting sermon, but I 100% know that when we place God first, we won't regret it. And while our funds are limited sometimes, God's is not. And I've talked with some of you, and there's one particular person I'm thinking about that when money was tight, she didn't even share it with others. And yet somehow the exact amount that she needed, God provided. through somebody else saying, hey, God just moved my heart to give this to you. Or sometimes it would just be there. And that's how our God is. He meets our needs when we place him first. So I encourage you, even when it comes to our spending, number one, make sure you spend with integrity. Pay people what you owe them. Follow the warnings of Scripture, and that's stay out of debt. Pay off your debts. Don't rob God, and he'll take care of you. Let's pray. Father God, sometimes, you know, when we think of sermons, we think of these big, exciting topics that get us hyped up. But Lord God, I also know that your word is very practical. And when we obey your word, Father, we don't regret it. Father, I realize that maybe today it might be challenging for some people, even the aspect of, you know, don't cut your ties just because you're trying to pay off a debt. And I know for some people that's really, really tight. But God, I believe that if we place you first, God, I pray that you would stir the hearts of the people today, that in that verse where it talks about not robbing you and how you'll bless people if they place you first. I pray, and also how it says about we should test you in this. Father God, I pray for those who might be struggling with their finances that they would test you in this. They would put you first, have integrity with their money, and pay off their debt, Lord. Father God, you came to give us life and you came to give us freedom. Help us to experience that even in our finances. We thank you for your word today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.